Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning.
Good morning.
Got square eyes today, have you?
Listen, I watched a little bit of the golf. It wasn't a classic Masters, I didn't think. I mean, Dustin Johnson, of course, was imperious. He was looked like a clear winner. A little bit of a wobble, I think, was it on the 4th and the 5th, maybe, where we had bogeys there. But beyond that, he looked like a clear winner. I miss the patrons, I miss the sunshine, I miss the azaleas. It just wasn't a classic Masters.
I didn't miss the cries of get in the hole.
No, that's true, and all that mashed potato business.
But it was shaping up to be really good after the second round, wasn't it? There's all those players up there, and you thought this is going to be a real nail-biter, but he just sort of walked away with it in the third and fourth rounds, didn't he, really?
Rory could have won it, Rory had a disastrous first round, I think it was 75. He was in fantastic form, and even with that disaster and major problems, he's not far away from his green jacket, I don't think.
And poor old Tiger at the 12th on the final round. I mean, that was 10 on the par 3 12th.
That was absolutely incredible. Was he in the water twice? More than that.
The shot I saw, he was in the bunker. He went straight from the bunker into the water.
Why are you laughing?
Well, it was quite funny, really.
But... I'll tell you what is amazing about Tiger's round is, even after that 10, did you see what he did after
five
that?
Five birdies, yeah.
Absolutely incredible. Mm. His determination, his focus, his willpower is absolutely incredible. With a 10 on the scorecard, I think it was still under par for the tournament, wasn't he?
There was a lot of good golf. I mean, Cameron Smith looked pretty good, didn't he, the Australian?
Yeah, he's good. He's good on the par fives, isn't he? He's good at that second shot into the par fives. He's certainly a talent to watch for in the future.
It's all over for Lefty, though, isn't it? Busted flush.
No.
Straight into the bunker on 18.
He will be back in great shape come April next year. Not too long to wait for the next Masters.
And hopefully we'll have the crowds back. Okay, I mustn't rabbit on about golf for the entire session. Let's talk about the markets. Good week last week, and it's continued in Asia this morning.
Yeah, very much so. Investors, I think, have been spending much of the past week looking through the dark near-term virus risk to the brighter vaccine horizon. We should remember, of course, the coronavirus data still is very alarming. Infections have been accelerating at a rapid rate. Containment measures have been intensifying. If you look at the figures around the world now, 53.4 million confirmed cases. Deaths now stand at a tragic 1.3 million. In the last few days, we've seen the US, Japan, Russia and the UK all registering record daily coronavirus cases. Prospect of tighter restrictions in a number of regions loom large. Growth forecasts for the fourth quarter have been tumbling, but markets trying to look beyond that to think about the vaccine. And perhaps we saw the first true tangible step towards normality last week as Pfizer and BioNTech announced the clinical trial results for its COVID-19 vaccine candidate. Lots of people getting excited about what that's going to mean in terms of the speed of the economic recovery. The markets reacted to that. Certainly at the start of the week, sentiment was strong. Stock surged. The MSCI All Country Index hit a record high. Bond yields jumped. Crude US dollar rallied. The cost to protect corporate debt against default in both the US and Europe sank. Investors bet there was reduced need to shelter in safe haven assets. So we saw this rotation into value, into cyclical sectors, helping Europe to outperform last week. There was also early signs, perhaps this stay-at-home trade that's been prevalent, of course, during the course of COVID may start to unwind. And we saw smaller caps outperforming the tech mega caps. For the week, the S&P 500 was up 2.2%. Europe was where the major action was. Stock 600 was up 5.1%. In fact, marking the best two-week rally we've seen since May 2001. Looks like we're going to get a decent start on the European bourses this morning after a strong session in Asia. Currently calling FTSE up 44 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 111 points. CAC 40 in Paris up 55 points.
Landmark trade deal signed by 15 nations to form the world's largest trading bloc, Hank.
Huge. 15 Asia-Pacific countries signing, as you say, one of the biggest trade deals in history in a move that will reduce barriers that covers a third of the world's population and economic output. The regional comprehensive economic partnership was a decade in the making. Brings the powerhouses of China, Japan and South Korea together with the Association of Southeast Asian Nations. I think we've also got Australia and New Zealand in there as well, bringing them into this formal trading zone with agreements around tariffs, around customs, services, investment, rules of origin. What does it mean? Well, victory for global trade. We've been seeing these country-centric approaches. We've had Brexit. We've had America First in the United States, all raising fears of deglobalization and what it can mean. This is seen as good news, I think, for global growth prospects. And you could also argue it reduces the US's influence over Asian trading rules as well.
And just extends China's influence in the region, though, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does. China, of course, the powerhouse there, been leading the recovery out of the pandemic. Strong growth numbers coming through from them this morning, an important trading component, and perhaps a shift in global dynamics being displayed as they put this partnership together.
And as I understand this, it's going to be between 10 and 20 years, though, before all the tariffs are phased out.
Yeah, it paves the way. That's the important element. It takes a long time in order to get to this point. It's got to be ratified and then it's got to be implemented. And that's going to take a number of years to happen.
Makes you think, though, that with the European Union, US, Mexico, Canada agreements, and now this new regional comprehensive economic partnership, you know, if you're not in one of those, you're going to struggle, aren't you? Which leads us on to Brexit.
You can see where you're going with this one. It doesn't stop, of course, the likes of Australia and New Zealand doing deals with the UK, just governing rules within those partnership areas. But as you say, the truth is that there are some big blocks being formed, and the freedom to of trade of goods and services within those regions over time will make them an attractive place to do business, and you need to have access to those markets.
Right, and we keep being told it's a massive week for Brexit, but this is it really, isn't it now?
Clock is ticking, and the fears are, of course, rising that a no-deal Brexit will play out, I suppose, as we get closer towards the true deadline coming through. The reality is we'll need to see something in the next week or so, I suppose, because there won't be time for parliaments to ratify any agreement before the transition period ends. But the music remains negative, but economic pragmatism, we think, will prevail and a deal will eventually happen. Been lots of, lots of people leaving Downing Street in the last few days, and Boris Johnson told to stay at home, ironically, in Downing Street under track and trace. But I still think that the prospect for a deal is certainly possible, it's certainly achievable, but by no means inevitable.
That made for very interesting reading over the weekend, didn't it? And do you think that the removal of Dominic Cummings and Lee Kane from Downing Street will have any bearing on the talks?
Well, you could argue that. There have been arch Brexiteers, there's no doubt about that. They've been at the heart of the thing. And the resetting of government could involve compromises in Europe in order to get a deal done before the transition ends. So one would suspect there is a link between the removal of some of those officials and the potential for a deal to break out.
Is Princess Nut-Nut going to get involved, do you think?
Who's Princess Nut-Nut?
Well, this is the thing that angered Boris Johnson, because apparently Lee Kane and Dominic Cummings were referring to Carrie Symes and emails as Princess Nut-Nut.
Okay, well, I won't get involved. I won't get involved in discussing her views or role in the process.
Because she does seem to have a lot of influence. I mean, of course, she's a former Tory party advisor, so she knows what she's talking about. And
She's been in the heart of government for a prolonged period of time. She does have many contacts and the ear of many MPs who work with her and interact with her, and no doubt she passes that on to the boss.
Right, so finally, a quick word about China. Good figures coming through.
Yeah, strong numbers once again showing the V-shaped recovery remains on track in the world's second largest economy. For October, industrial production rose 6.9%. Retail sales, we watch that very closely, becoming a much more important component of China's growth profile. That accelerated to 4.3% in October from 3.3% in September. Fixed asset investment remains positive. It was up 1.8% for the first 10 months of the year. Unemployment rate inched down to 5.3%. Just look at those numbers and compare them to what you see elsewhere in the world. No doubt China powering ahead, the only major region to generate growth during the course of this year, and expected strong figures next year puts them in good shape and likely to propel them to become the world's largest economy somewhere in the next decade.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar coming in at 1.32 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 1.18. Going to get 1 euro, 11 and a half cents for your British pound this morning.
We had our money's worth this morning, didn't we?
Really worked me hard, didn't you?
Yeah, good. That's what you need on a Monday morning, you know, get you into gear for the tough week ahead.
Quite right.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hang Potts and Barclays.